Our presentation this morning is Embracing the Wealth of Our Religious Roots by Avalon Hakus. Avalon is a psychotherapist, a lay minister. She's been part of our congregation for at least 3 years now, and a UU for 30 years. It's a privilege and honor to have Avalon share her thoughts this morning. Welcome, Avalon.
Don't clap. You haven't heard what I have to say yet. As the holidays centered upon the winter solstice near, many of us find ourselves in conflict between the pressures placed upon us by our culture and our own hearts. Most of us have distanced ourselves from the faith traditions of our youth, and as their traditional holidays approach, we might feel a mixture of excitement and dread. Christmas seems to be dedicated to either outlandish consumerism or the remembrance of a great sage whose deification and date of birth are based more on myth than reality. Hanukkah, a relatively minor Jewish holiday, is blown out of proportion, I believe in part with the intention of helping children of that faith cope with the bacchanalia bestowed upon their Gentile friends. These adult realizations may be in conflict with the positive memories of our childhoods. We wax nostalgic as we recall family gatherings, gifts exchanged, and the once-a-year appearance of potato latkes or the Yule log, all the while cringing in the knowledge that the beliefs upon which these celebrations are based do not ring true. We struggle to uphold our values as we succumb to the pressures of a society imploring us to buy gifts, decorate trees, and attend parties, all in the name of theological ideologies we may no longer embrace. So today I'd like to explore the possibility of resolving that conflict and releasing any tension we might feel. Perhaps we can create a holiday season which is meaningful for us by consciously examining the religious traditions of our past and giving ourselves permission to choose what to keep and what to discard. This idea came to me during a visit to another UU congregation a few years ago. Just about every Unitarian Universalist congregation I have had the pleasure to visit has at least one service devoted to individuals sharing their paths to Unitarian Universalism. In every such service I have attended, participants begin by talking about the faiths in which they were raised: Catholic, Methodist, Jewish, Mormon, Universalist. Some talk about their experiences being raised in Unitarian Universalist churches. A relative few state that they were not indoctrinated into any organized religion and that their parents passed no legacy of formal religious training on to them. Regardless of religious background, however, the focus of individual personal accounts of childhood faiths are most often negative. This makes sense since most of us left our former faiths because of difficulties we had within them. Comments from some of the services I attended might sound familiar. The idea of Jesus as the Son of God made no sense to me. God is one. The God of the Old Testament, with all his fire and brimstone, went against my belief in a loving God. I found it strange that eating meat on Friday could be a mortal sin, but I found it impossible to understand what would become of all the people who had been condemned to hell for eating meat on Fridays once the church changed the rules. What turned me against the church was finding out that the ministers I admired for their social responsibility didn't believe in the dogma. They believed the miracles were symbolic, but they preached about them as though they were true. That hypocrisy got to me. And if there is a God, where was he when his people were being slaughtered by the millions during the Holocaust? We articulate our reasons for leaving former denominations and re-envisioning our spiritual lives through affiliation with UU congregations pretty clearly. But while I heard people emphasizing their disillusionment with the past, I also became aware of hearing something else, something like nostalgia, in a comment, however brief, about some quality which inspired them as children in their former faiths, which may even have prompted them to search for and join a religious community as adults. And I began to think it might be important to acknowledge these positive attributes of our former faiths. There are two reasons for this. First, when we separate the good from the bad and acknowledge the good, it frees us from feeling like we're losing something precious by having to let the whole thing go. Giving ourselves permission to keep the aspects of our childhood faiths that worked for us makes it easier for us to leave behind the parts that didn't. Second, when we voice appreciation of things we valued, we have the opportunity to integrate those pieces into our current religious lives. I became so intrigued by the possibility of creating this form of reconciliation within ourselves that I decided to conduct interviews with a variety of Unitarian Universalists to investigate if, in fact, there were things about our childhood religious experiences that we do honor and wish to retain. The results were overwhelming. With just one exception, every person I interviewed acknowledged at least one element they appreciated about the religion in which they were raised. What were some of those things? Well, first, many recalled the physical beauty of the churches and synagogues they attended as children. The stained glass windows, the magnificent organs, the candles lit to mark the eternal presence of God, or the memory of a loved one, each evoked a sense of reverence and awe that could be felt in the very cells of our bodies. The significance of having a beautiful meeting place for our UU services was illustrated to me by my daughter. She was raised a Unitarian Universalist in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Most of those years were before our fellowship owned its own meeting hall, so she, along with her father and me, attended services held in the Archilena County Extension Building, kind of like a big metal barn, the Pagosa Lakes Clubhouse, the Pagosa Springs Community Center, each very secular, plain, and nondescript. However, when we visited the Unitarian Universalist Church in Auckland, New Zealand during the winter of 2005, and she saw the organ with its impressive wooden pipes at the front of the sanctuary, the vaulted ceiling, the stained glass windows, and the century-old wooden floor, she exclaimed, "This is a real church. We are a real religion." When I look around and notice the way in which care has been taken to create a place for services, which is both beautiful and welcoming, I think of how important beauty in the place we gather is to us still, if more modern than our predecessors. A second thing many of us remember from the past and continue to enjoy today as part of our UU living tradition is the inner peace and quiet brought about by a moment of silent reflection or longer periods of meditation during our services. One woman who grew up Catholic described the way in which her childhood recitation of the Apostolic Creed lifted her into bliss. In the years before her mind could understand the meaning of the words, they took on the monotonous tone of a mantra and brought her a feeling of peace. Growing up as a member of the Jewish faith and praying in Hebrew, a language I did not understand, a similar response was created in me. Singing in synagogue on the Sabbath washed away the chatter of my mind and introduced me to inner quietude. A third quality many of us have taken from our childhood faiths is the importance of a sense of belonging to a loving, supportive community. One man I interviewed remarked on the love he sensed between congregants in his boyhood church. This, he said, for him, was a religious feeling. Another individual said, "One of the main things I got from my church was that adults were interested in me. My parents were kind of absent, so I'm glad I had other adults to mentor me when they couldn't." Today, a great number of us are members of the Unitarian Universalist religious community because of the friendships and loving acceptance we found here. A fourth quality central to our faith is the value of service to others, and most of us learned this in the faiths in which we were raised. One woman described at length her upbringing as a Reformed Jew, where her religious education was very socially conscious. Her confirmation class spent its year studying civil rights. She learned to raise money for charity and to work in programs that helped others. She recalled her rabbi saying, "As long as one man is enslaved, no man is free." She remembered going through her closet as a child and sending what she wasn't going to wear anymore to refugees emigrating from Europe during World War II. She learned that giving was a part of life. When she discovered the same emphasis on social action among Unitarian Universalists, the transition to her new faith was an easy one. A fifth element of our religious past, which held meaning for many of those interviewed, was the youth group members attended as children and teenagers. A woman who grew up as a UU said she felt accepted in the religious education classes she attended. She appreciated the fact that there were no cliques and no one was an outsider. A man who grew up in the Methodist Church loved participating in social action projects with his youth group. He credits that early experience with helping to ingrain in him the value of social responsibility. But as you may have guessed, the element of religious experience which seemed to resonate most deeply with the greatest number of people was the music of their childhood faiths. One woman who grew up in the Church of Christ said that when she was young, belief was secondary. She loved singing the hymns. As an adult, she joined the Presbyterian Church and found great joy singing in the choir. Finally, as a member of a large UU church, she continued to find meaning by singing in the choir and participating in services in which music played a major role. A woman who grew up in the Dutch Reformed Church also talked about going to church, mostly because of the music. She sang in choirs and even as a child played piano to accompany the hymns. As an adult, she continued to play an important role in the music program of each UU church to which she has belonged. A third person simply remarked that singing songs during the holiday made the seasons of the year special, providing continuity and stability in what was otherwise a very tumultuous childhood. In our congregations, we draw upon so many positive attributes of our past religious experiences. We create beauty in our meeting places. Our services often include a time for meditation or quiet reflection. The sharing of joys and concerns has become a service tradition which cultivates the warmth of our compassionate community among friends. We engage in social action as individuals and as congregations, committed to creating a world that we learned to envision long ago. We support religious education programs for youth, where children have the opportunity to learn the values of our faith, securing our future. We include music in our services, singing a variety of hymns with progressive lyrics. As they become familiar, we find joy raising our voices together in song. Without denying the negative experiences that brought us where we are today, we can begin to acknowledge and emphasize the many gifts we were given in the faith traditions of our past. We can begin to release the vague or pronounced sense of discomfort we might feel at this time of year by appreciating the traditions we have intentionally preserved. As individuals, we can take pleasure in decorating our homes. We can appreciate winter for the natural way it seems to inspire us to reflect and look within. We can enjoy parties with families and friends and donate food and toys to help families less fortunate than ourselves. Finally, we can partake in the fun of singing some traditional holiday songs. In reclaiming the wealth of our religious roots, we can embrace the holiday spirit and find true joy this holiday season. Let's share.